Ken had to leave, so he asked you to pray for his wife. She was at work and fell, and she was going to be taken to the emergency room. So keep her in your prayers as well, along with Brother Bill. I got the good news that he is going to be released today, so we're excited about that. He had a little delay in that. Brother Paul is still in the rehab center recovering. He'll probably be there for another week or so. And then continue, of course, pray for my mother-in-law. I want to say these words, Happy Mother's Day. And when we say those words, Happy Mother's Day, sometimes it brings up some good feelings, and sometimes it brings up some feelings that aren't so good. Maybe God has not opened up your womb yet, and maybe God has opened up your womb plenty of times, but just those words of Mother's Day, maybe you're thinking about your mother who has gone on into eternity, and maybe that brings up some uneasy feelings deep inside of you. I just want to say this. We just want to honor not only mothers today, but motherhood. We want to honor all women, amen, who are here today. Speaking of Mother's Day and honoring women, a funeral service was being held for a woman who had just passed away. And at the end of the service, one of the pallbearers who was carrying the casket outside of the church accidentally bumped into the wall, jarring the casket. Inside the casket, they heard a faint moan. They opened the casket and find out the woman was actually alive. And she lived actually 10 more years and then dies a second time. A ceremony is held at the exact same place, pretty much about the same time as it was before. And at the end of the ceremony, the pallbearers again are ceremoniously again carrying out the casket. And as they're walking past her husband, he cries out and says, "Watch out for the wall." So, I don't know how you feel about that. After church one Sunday morning, a young boy suddenly announced to his mother very happily, Mom, I decided I'm going to be a minister when I grow up." "That's okay with us," the mother said. She was excited. "But what made you want to decide today to be a minister?" "Well," the boy replied to his mother, "I have to go to church on Sundays anyhow, so I figured what would be more fun to stand up and yell at people, amen, than to sit there and be yelled at." So there might be some truth to that as well. Well, take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter number 16, the very last chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 16, and we'll look at verse number 1 and a verse number 2 in just a moment or two. The pages of the Bible are really filled with many, many great women. For instance, there's Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other woman that followed Jesus Christ as he ministered in Galilee and the surrounding areas. Then I think about Eunice. I think about another great lady by the name of Lois, who taught young Timothy God's way of salvation. Then I think of Lydia, the merchant from Thyatira, who was converted under Paul's ministry and was greatly used of the Lord. Then the book of Acts speaks about another woman by the name of Dorcas, or in other words, the Greek name would be Tabitha. She was a talented woman who ministered to the needs of the church and was raised from the dead by the Apostle Peter. But then here in this chapter, in Romans chapter 16, we're introduced to another woman by the name of Phoebe here in Romans 16, verse number 1 and verse number 2. She was a very special woman who demonstrates the attributes of holiness and servanthood and dedication. And by the way, all of those attributes ought to be found in every woman who claims to be a child of God. This woman was a great servant to the early church. There's a statement that's found in some Bibles. It's not the Bible. It's inserted by man after verse number 27 that states the following. Written to the Romans of Corinthians and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church of Cenchrea. You see, when she left Paul at Corinth to go to Rome, we see Phoebe carried not only her luggage, but she also carried one of the greatest declarations of Christian doctrine the world had ever known, and that's this letter here, the letter that we call Romans today. Evidently, she had to have been trusted, and no doubt she was an esteemed and highly exalted worker in the early New Testament church. What we have here in these first two verses is a letter of Paul's commendation about Phoebe. That word commendation means to introduce, or it means to recommend to someone. So Paul was taking the time to introduce Phoebe to the believers in Rome. He wants them to know that she's a pretty special person and she'll be a great blessing to them if they'll allow her to be. See, it appears that in those days, when a person left one church to go to another church, they carried with him a letter of commendation from one home church to the next church. And we still do that today, kind of to a certain extent. When one person transfers from another church, oftentimes we write for a letter confirming that they were a member of that church. But we do that, but we probably don't do such a good of job as they did in the early New Testament church. When someone leaves one church and goes to another, we ought to tell the church that they're going to the truth about them. That way, good Christians could be introduced and troublemakers could be identified and not allowed to unite with that local New Testament church. I think if we did that, it might cut down on some of the church hopping that goes on today. We write for letters today and they write and say, yes, they were here, they joined, and they were here. But you know what? It usually takes several months before you figure out the rest of the story. And usually it's the rest of the story that sometimes causes problems. In fact, I've known people that have torn apart whatever church they've been a part of. And it didn't matter if they were at that church. They left there to come here. They begin to sow discord and create disunity inside the local New Testament church. I thought about this. If only they would have gone out from Paul's church, Paul would have told the truth about them. Notice what Paul says as he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. He says this, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." And notice this next word. Words, "of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Boy, sometimes we just need to speak the truth and say, thank God, I'm glad that they're gone. They were troublemakers in this church, and they were creating disunity. Paul wasn't afraid to say what somebody was. Don't get me wrong, there may be a time when people feel led to change churches for a variety of reasons, but problems and problem makers need to be identified before we allow them to unite with our church. So here in our text, we find that the Apostle Paul begins to introduce Phoebe to the church at Rome. And it's that introduction that I want to look at this morning. And I think in these two verses, we see a portrait of a godly Christian lady. If you found your place, let's stand as you give respect to the reading of God's Word, if you're able to stand this morning. Romans chapter number 16, we'll read just two verses, 1 and 2, then have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is the servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she hath been a succor of many, and myself also." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today as we celebrate Mother's Day, Father. And Lord, I pray that you'll be a blessing to everyone that's here today, particularly to the young ladies, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister to the hearts and lives, not only to men and ladies, Father, but to the young teenagers that are here as well. Help them to understand that there is a person that we can look to have a good, godly desire to be like Christ, and that is Phoebe. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching and teaching of your word this day. And Father, when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you honor and glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice this morning there are three words that are used to describe Phoebe in verses 1 through verse number 2. Notice first of all, in the first part of verse number 1, notice that she is called a sister. The Bible says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister." Notice her relationship with the father. That word sister indicates that this woman is in a relationship. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what kind of relationship is she in? She's in a relationship with God the Father, and it's a father-daughter type of relationship. You see, that Phoebe's name means radiant, or it means bright one. Her name is the feminine form of a title given to the pagan god Apollo and the false goddess Diana. And I thought about that. With a name like that, it stands to reason that Phoebe probably was raised in an ungodly home. I don't know about you, but listen, if you're saved and born again, you're not going to give your children a name that's ungodly. It does not bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So she probably was raised in an ungodly home, but thank God now she is saved. She once was a worshiper of false gods, but now she's a worshiper of the true and living God. Regardless of your background here today, if you've been saved and trusted in Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing that you can say about yourself today is that you are a child of God. To know that you have been forgiven and in that special relationship with God is the greatest knowledge that you can have in all the world. Now, Pastor James recently just graduated with a master's degree, and some of you have master's degree and bachelor's degree and associate's degree. Some of you have graduated from trade schools, and we thank God for that. But listen, I want you to understand, that's not the greatest knowledge you can ever obtain. The greatest knowledge you can know today is that you are a born-again child of God. And we find that Phoebe is called a sister because she knows the Father, our Heavenly Father, God the Father. Well, Phoebe is called a sister for another reason, and that because of her relationship with the family, her relationship with the family. Well, not only is she in a relationship with the Heavenly Father, but she's also in a relationship with all the other redeemed child of God. You understand this, that you're not the only one who's a child of God. If you're saved and born again, you're a child of God. But God has many childs or children in the plural. And if you're saved and trusted in Him, you're God's children. You can only imagine that because she has trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, she might have been an outcast by her earthly family. It happened that way in those early New Testament days. When someone would reject the false gods of the Gentiles or trust in Jesus Christ against the Jewish faith of that day, they were outcast by their earthly family. But listen, when she met Jesus, she got a brand new family. She was received into a family that was made up of redeemed people from all kinds of backgrounds. The truth of the matter is today that when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, all the barriers of life are broken down. As a matter of fact, in Galatians 3 and verse 28, we find these words: there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, neither is there male nor female. And notice what Paul says to that church at Galatia: for ye are all in Christ Jesus. He said, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Understand this morning that in Jesus Christ, there are no racial barriers. There's no Jew, there's no Greek. There's no social barriers. There's no bond or free. There's no gender barriers. There's no male or female. We are all made one in Jesus Christ. And it's on this basis of her relationship to the Christian family that Paul encourages the church at Rome to receive her. He says in verse 2, in the first part of that verse, that you receive her, get these next words, in the Lord. So in other words, just the fact that she is a woman shouldn't have any bearing on how they were to receive her. And according to the Apostle Paul, we are to receive one another just as Jesus Christ received you and I. In Romans 15 and verse 7, Paul says this: wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So how are we to receive other people? Just as Christ received us. So here, get this now, think about this. You have a Jewish man recommending a Gentile woman to a group of Roman believers. Let me help you. Only the grace of God could do something like that. But when we enter into this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are placed into God's family where there's love, there's acceptance, and we can find great joy. Thank God for the family of God. Well, not only is Phoebe called a sister, that's the first word that describes her, but notice secondly, in the last part of verse number 1, the beginning part of verse number 2, we find that she is called something else. We see the Bible calls her a servant. Notice what it says: which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint. See, this verse really has been a debate of many down through the ages. And it's my prayer that I'll be able to dispel some misinformation about this passage and this word that has been translated as servant. Let me preface this verse by simply saying this. I want to thank God for all the actively involved women that are part of Sharon Baptist Church. You fill a place here at Sharon Baptist Church that no doubt would remain vacant if it were left up to men to do what you do. I know some men can cook, but I thank God for the ladies that work in the kitchen. I know men can change some diapers. We don't do it as good as you do. I thank God for those ladies. I thank those ladies that are prayer warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ and teach those little children Sunday school classes. Can men do it? Yes. But do men do it? No, they simply don't. I never heard of a man who was a preschool Sunday school teacher. They're always women. And I thank God for that. I want you to notice, first of all, in the second part of verse number 1, notice her position. Notice her position. Paul says that Phoebe is a servant. That word servant is the same word that's translated deacon elsewhere in the Bible. Now, don't let your wheels get cogging in your mind. You're going to put something in there that the Bible doesn't teach. I want you to understand that this does not mean that Phoebe held the office of the deacon in the San Korean church. That does not what it means. Let me illustrate it to this way. In the culture of the Middle East, women were not permitted to mix or even keep company with men as they do in today's Western world. Oftentimes, they're even kept in separate rooms or in separate tents. They kept them apart. So it makes sense that it would have been necessary to have deaconesses as well as deacons. I like what Albert Barnes, as I began to study this commentary, his commentary about this passage. This is what he writes. It's so important. I want you to hear it. It is clear from the New Testament that there was an order of women in the church known as deaconesses. Reference is made to a class of females whose duty it was to teach other, get this now, females, and it goes on to say, teach other females, and to take general superintendence of that part of the church in various places in the New Testament. And their existence is expressly affirmed in early ecclesiastical history. They appear to have been commonly aged and experienced widows, sustaining fair reputation, suited to guide and instruct those who were young and inexperienced. And we could get that passage from 1 Timothy 5 and Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. So what it does simply means this, that she carried out the spirit of the office of deacon in her work for the Lord. See, that word translated deacon, and here in Romans chapter number 16 is translated servant, means literally this, a table waiter, or one who waits on orders from his master. We could say this, he was the servant of the king. The word, if you were to look it up in the Greek, is both masculine and feminine in the Greek language that it was written in. And at times, a deacon was referred to as someone who kicked up the dust. You say, well, Pastor Dave, why would they kick up the dust? Well, the idea being simply this, that the servant was so busy carrying out their duties that he left a trail of dust behind him. Kind of like Roadrunner does when he goes meet, meet, and takes off, amen. He leaves a trail of dust. That's what a deacon ought to be. Of course, we know today that the Bible teaches that only men are qualified to hold the biblical office of deacon in the local New Testament church in 1 Timothy 3 and Acts chapter number 6. But I do believe there's an application for all of us here today and for all the women here today who act as servants in the church. See, deacons are to be servants of the people of God. I think sometimes that we kind of have this wrong in our churches today. We see a deacon is really not a leader, although he should be a leader. A deacon is a servant who must serve first and foremost. And oh, by the way, the same is true with preachers. The same is true with teachers and other spiritual leaders with inside the local New Testament church. All of us ought to be servants. As a matter of fact, every born-again person ought to be a servant of the local New Testament church. Did you notice what Paul said about Phoebe? Look at the phrase in verse number 1. He says this, of the church. He's a servant of the church. You see, Phoebe was under the authority of the local New Testament church. Whatever kind of service she rendered to the church, whatever position she held inside that church, simply put, she was a servant. She never saw herself as usurping the authority of the pastor. She didn't have her own agenda, her own will. She had the church's will, God's will, through the local New Testament church. She was a servant of the church and for the pastor as well. Thank God for those ladies and men who will humble themselves and they will serve the local New Testament church. Thank God for those women who are willing to do those things that need to be done here around the house of God. Oftentimes without thanks, most of the time without any kind of compensation except what the Lord provides for them. They do it because they truly love the Lord. And I want to say right now, thank you to all the women of the church who are God's humble servants. Keep up the good work. You bring God honor and glory through your life and your work. Well, not only do we see her position, but notice the first part of verse number 2, we see her praise. You see, Paul asked the Roman Christians to receive Phoebe. Notice these words, as becometh saints. He lets them know that by her life and by her work that she really has demonstrated the fact that she is a child of God, a saint of God. She's worthy to be honored because of her dedication to the Lord. What a blessing it is, as I thought about Phoebe, when a person's life matches their professions. Oftentimes, people's life doesn't match their profession. And for those who are saved and live like it, they should be honored. They should be respected. That's the Lord's will for every one of us. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in chapter 1 and verse 27, says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." And that conversation literally means not only our talk, but also our walk. He writes to the Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 10, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God." There's something special about a godly woman. A woman who won't gossip, and a woman who dresses and talks and acts like a lady. A woman who shows the world what Jesus can do with her life when she wholly gives herself to Him. I thank God for every woman in the church who is willing to be all that Jesus Christ desires for you to be. I praise the Lord for you. Keep up your good walk. Well, notice thirdly, in the second part of verse number 2, we find Phoebe's partners, her partners. You see, Paul challenges the church at Rome to fall in line with Phoebe and help her with the work that God has called her to. That word assist in our text means to stand beside. It means to be at the ready. It gives us the idea of bringing before, commanding, or being present, providing, or shown what is needed. You see, Paul was simply telling the church at Rome, don't you hinder the work that Phoebe has, but they were to help her as she served the Lord. I think there's a lesson in there for all of us today. When the godly ladies of this church are serving in those areas that God has called them to and they're good at, I think the rest of us should come alongside of them to help them in any way that we can. Let's give them our prayers. Let's give them our encouragement. Let's give them our support, and if need be, give them the resources that enables them to do what God has called them to do. Well, not only is Phoebe called a sister, but secondly, she was called a servant. Then notice, lastly, we find that she was called a succorer in the third part of verse number 2. The Bible says, "For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also." Boy, what a blessing she was. That word succorer is an old English word that simply means to come to another's assistance. We could use this word to be a helper. It comes from a word that means literally to run under. In Paul's day, this word was used to refer to female guardians and protectors who cared for the affairs of other people and aided them with her resources. Let me just say, for the next moment or two, a few of the gifts that Phoebe gave as a succorer for the Lord. Notice, first of all, she gave her talents. Whatever it was that Phoebe did, she was definitely good at. She was dedicated to the Lord and used her talents and natural gifts, and no doubt her finances, to be a blessing to that local New Testament church. She helped Paul, and she helped others. She was unselfish and not self-centered. She placed the needs of others in front of her own needs and made a difference in the lives of others for the glory of God. She took her life and literally placed it all on the altar. So in other words, she did what she could and then she just did a little bit more. That's what was said about Mary when she anointed the feet of Jesus in Mark chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work of me." You see, Phoebe didn't try to do everything. She just did what she could. And that's what the church needs today. We need some women. And by the way, we need some men as well, and some teenagers who will do what they can do. You don't have to do everything. Just do what you can do. Not everyone can sing. Thank God for that. Not everyone can teach or lead or do whatever. But everyone can do something. So let me ask you this. What is your something? You say, "Well, I come to church and I sit on the pew. That's something." Well, it might be something, but really, truthfully with you today, if I'm being honest, it's not really anything, because we're commanded to come into the house of God. What are you doing? What is your something? What's that something that you can do? What should you do for the Lord, and what should you do for the church? Well, not only did she give her talents, but notice something else. She gave her time. Paul tells the church at Rome that Phoebe was a blessing to him. Not only to him, he expands it out, and it says that she was a blessing to many others as well. Notice what it says in the fourth part of the second verse. "For she hath been a succor of many," that's others, "and myself also." If you think about that, if you're a succor to Paul, a helper, and you're a succor to the local New Testament church, guess what? A ministry like that's going to take a lot of time. You see, Phoebe was willing to spend her life on behalf of the church for the glory of God. She gave everything that she had for the Savior. Have you ever thought about the time that you give is some of the most valuable assets that you and I have? Think about it for just a moment. If you give money, you can always earn more money and get it back, right? If you give property, guess what? You can always buy more property. But you know what? When you give your time, you have given something that you can never, ever give back. Let me ask you this question. In light of eternity, what is your investments of time for the glory of God? In light of eternity, what is the investment of your time? You say, "I don't have time to come out here and mow the grass. I don't have time to teach Sunday school. You don't know how hard I work. You don't know how long I work. You don't know how tired I am. I can't get up and get here an hour early to get on a bus and go pick up some boys and girls and men and women need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You just don't know. I don't have time to do that." Listen, my friend, if you have time to get on Facebook, if you have time to get on the internet, if you have time to listen to the radio, watch TV, you have time to do it. It's what you do with the time that God has allowed you to have each and every day. So I'm going to ask you, what is your investment of time for the glory of God? Cut out church attendance, then start from there and see, what is your investment in time for the glory of God? I thank God for all those people here in the church who are willing to give of their time. Some are willing to pray for others. Lady told me the other day, "Pastor, I can't really go and do anymore, but I can pray." And I said, "I wish I had more people praying. I'd rather have people praying than people doing and going, because you know what? If you're praying, God's going to provide the goers and the doers." Amen. We need to pray for others. We take time to visit the sick. Take time to minister to those who are grieving. Take time to make that phone call to let someone know that we missed them in services this week. Take time to prepare that meal without even being asked to do so. Take time to do what needs to be done so that others might be blessed and God would bless you as well. What a ministry we can have. What a ministry we should have. I want to thank you for the gift of your time, if you have given the gift of your time. Thank you for giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and this local New Testament church. Well, because Phoebe was a succor or a helper, she gave her talents, she gave her time, but then notice something else. She gave of her tenderness. She gave of her tenderness. You know, in giving of her talent and giving of her time, she was in effect really doing this, opening up her heart to those other believers. She was putting feet to her love. 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18 says this, "But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but get this now, but in deed and in truth." Diana's grandmother, who's many years now gone on to her eternal reward in heaven with her marvelous Savior, Jesus the Christ, used to tell us this. She'd say, David, put some legs to your prayers. Diana, put some legs to your prayers. I'm all for praying, amen. But sometimes we got to put some legs to our prayers. Let us not love in word. It's easy for us to say, if you need anything, brother, let me know. It's harder to show up with a lawnmower and a weed eater and a blower and get out there and do without being asked. That's what they're talking about. Neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Phoebe knew that love for the saints wasn't something you said. It was something that you showed. Now, I hope many of you today that have mothers or your mothers are still living or you have someone who acts like a mother to you, I hope you just didn't say Happy Mother's Day. That's fine if you did. I'm sure they appreciate it. But you know what? Words kind of are cheap. Do you show that love to her? Maybe you'll clean the house for her. Maybe you'll do the laundry for her. Maybe you'll take her out to eat, not only today, but 3 days in a row, amen? Surprise her. Everyone goes out to eat on Mother's Day. Why don't you do it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, amen? You say, that's a lot of money. Well, you know what? If you had to pay someone to do what your significant other does, guess what? You're going to be way broker than three meals outside somewhere. And listen, don't pick the place that you want to go. You pick the place that she likes. You say, but she'll go to the same place 3 days in a row. So what? It's not for you, it's for her, amen? You just show her the love, amen? Well, we'll find that Phoebe proved her love for Jesus by proving that love to the local New Testament church. I praise the Lord for ladies who open up their hearts to serve here at Sharon Baptist Church. I thank God for everyone, both men and ladies, who show their love for the Lord and their church by opening up their hearts and giving, not just financially, but their time, their talent, and their treasures in the name of the Lord. Be honest with you, it's rarer than you think. It's more precious than silver, more precious than gold. It's more valuable than diamonds. The church that has these people that give like that, no doubt are considered to be a rich church, whether they have $0 in their account or not. Well, as we close today, ladies, you could spend your life a lot of different ways. You could go through life feeling like a second-class citizen. You could be upset over the fact that God has placed you in a submissive position inside the local New Testament church and in confines of the marriage arrangement. Or you could look at the opportunities that God has given you to serve Him and understand this, that He has opened areas of service to you that no man can ever fill or would want to fill. He'll bless the godly Christian woman, and I thank God for every one of you that are here today. Of course, this passage does contain something for all of us that are here. All of us, meaning male and female. You know, we're challenged to give everything that we have to the service of the Lord and to the service of the local New Testament church. I challenge you to look at your life. I challenge you to look at your heart. Are you giving everything that you have to God, His church, and to His people? If not, now is the time to give your all to Him on this Mother's Day. Some may not even be in the family of God. You never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior. You don't know the Father. Let me tell you this morning that God does love you, and He wants to save you. He wants to receive you into His family. He wants you to place your faith and trust in what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. If you need to meet Him this morning, He's here and available, and He wants you to come to Him. Whatever the need is this morning, this altar is open for you to do business with God. Well, Phoebe, she was a portrait of a godly Christian woman. She was called a sister because she was in the family, God's family. She was called a servant because she served. And she also called a succor because she was a helper. I wonder, male or female, because those three words be spoken about you. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this word. Father, I pray that you continue to bless through the invitation time this morning. Father, we ask that you would, first of all, save that one who needs to be saved. They're not in the family, never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Father, if the truth be told, they were seen as an enemy against God. But Father, you loved even your enemies. So, Father, I pray that you would help them understand the importance of trusting in Christ as their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for those who claim the name of Christ, whether male or female. Father, help us to understand that we need to be in the family, and we are. And because we are, we ought to be a servant, and we ought to be a succorer. And Father, I pray that each person individually would search their heart. Oh, Father, help them to answer that million-dollar question. How much time did they give to you? So, Father, I pray that you would bless now this time of invitation. Speak to hearts as only you can do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. And stand to our feet, please.